Hello and welcome to the Update Program. I'm Kathy Parrish with my guest today, who is Dr. Jarrett Pingleton. And I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit of background.
Thank you, Kathy. It's a delight to be with you all today. I'm a clinical psychologist and third-generation minister, and I'm vice president of the American Association of Christian Counselors.
Oh, that's awesome. And you are in town for a very special thing. We're going to be talking about the conference that's coming up in March, March 22nd and 23rd. And that's pretty fascinating. I mean, this is a conference, the type of conference that it is, isn't something that we hear about often. It has to do with mental health. You want to give us a little background on the kind of conference and what it's all about?
Sure, be happy to. We're very excited about this landmark conference. It's based off a new book we just put together that was recently released called The Struggle is Real, How to Care for Mental and Relational Health Needs in the Church. And Kathy, what we've seen historically, stereotypically, traditionally in the church is that the issues that people really struggle with are ones that are rarely discussed. And our belief is because it's not safe to do so. And yet people are hurting, and it's not just a few people.
Yeah, this is something that a lot of us deal with every day. And, you know, you mentioned the fact that people a lot of times don't discuss it. Is there a stigma that's associated with that kind of thing, and that's why there's a hesitancy to bring it up?
There certainly is. As a matter of fact, I believe there's what I call an unholy trifecta of reasons as to why the church doesn't typically explicitly and directly address mental and relational health needs. One is the silence. People are afraid to talk about it. And secondly, that's because of shame. They feel very ashamed of the fact that they're hurting or broken or struggling. And then thirdly, yes, there is a stigma that our culture, and unfortunately, especially our Christian subculture, tends to project onto people that are hurting.
And when you say relational health needs, what does that refer to?
It's not just the plethora of mental health issues like depression, anxiety, and bipolar, and post-traumatic stress, and so on, but it has to do with the struggles that we all experience with interpersonal relationships, whether that be in marriage, with a divorce rate that's still over 40%. We see struggles with blended families. Those are very difficult. Single parenting. Those relational challenges are enormous, and the church must come alongside and help those folks. We see many other issues that emerge in terms of dealing with relationships. We have a cohabitation rate that is spiraling out of control. We see that a couple of years ago, the latest statistics available, 48% of all live births in America were to people that were not married. So the struggles of what happens there relationally are also very, very difficult. And so we have the mental health issues, including addictions to both substances and processes and behaviors, as well as relational struggles that we're going to tackle and address at this conference.
I was going to ask for examples, and you've given clearly many of them that we are faced with as far as things that the church could be very beneficial in helping. And I kind of struggle with the idea of understanding, since our society has changed so much and so much more is acceptable today, which wasn't acceptable not even really that long ago, how do you get people to really understand that this is an issue that needs to be addressed?
I think, as with all issues, we must speak the truth, but in love. Condemnation and judgment, unfortunately, are things for which many churches are known. And we must be also real and relevant. Many times, if the church does not speak directly into shining light into the darkness of people's souls, it will kind of bounce off and seem that it's not meaningful. The epistles say that where darkness increases, light has a greater opportunity to shine and is seen more brightly. And so, yes, the statistics are dire, in terms of the increasing proliferation and propensity of dysfunction and pathology and struggles and hurts and conflicts and turmoils and difficulties in relationships and that people have that they bring to church. But I think the opportunity to serve those people that are hurting is all the more great. And so when we shine light into the darkness and speak truth into the silence in loving ways, I think that's a great opportunity for the church to step up to the plate.
Absolutely. There's so many things today that are being accepted that are just, even in a regular conversation with friends or, you know, people in church, you hear about, for example, people saying that their relative may be living. You mentioned a statistic regarding cohabitation. Maybe they have a relative who's living together. I went to recently, it was a baby shower for some friends of family, and the woman is expecting, or she's actually since had the baby, but she was expecting at the time, and she was with her boyfriend who had, they had just bought a house together, but they didn't have any plans to marry, but they just were getting ready to have a baby. So those are the real situations today. And that's why I ask you, when it's something that's very common, seemingly today, how do you deal with it?
What we're to do is we're to be Jesus extended to people. And he didn't come here to put people down, but that through him the world would be saved. And so, for example, how do you reach those people? I think with sensitivity and empathy with their pain. And the irony that we see is, Kathy, that the breakup rate for cohabitation is 80%. And the irony there is people are fearful of divorce. It's why they don't commit. And, of course, the divorce rate for first marriage is about 40%. So
it's kind of like a circle.
It really is. Yeah. And the irony is, let's say I'm afraid that you're not going to stay committed to me. I don't trust you. So I'm going to double my odds of relational failure. And again, I think we must, as the church, have the facts and the truth that God's will and way for our lives is always best. And yet that message doesn't get communicated or conveyed in the ways it needs to.
And that's why it's so important that we learn about conferences such as the one that's coming up in March that I really want to get into talking about. But before that, I'd like to talk about your book, which is crucial for the everyday person. Maybe you can't make it to the conference, but you can absolutely read a book. And this is a very interesting book. The name is The Struggle is Real, and it is real.
And it's very much so. And so as a mental health clinician and as a minister, my heart is oriented toward reaching hurting people in every way we can with the gospel and with the truth of how God heals hurting people. And the truth is, we all hurt, Kathy. We hide, and we have been since Genesis 3. It's universal. And denial is probably one of the main things that keeps people away from being healthy and whole. But we want to give hope to hurting people. And so we do want to take a look at numbers. Numbers matter because they represent people. The facetious joke is numbers matter so much to God, he named a book in his Bible after that. So the reality are statistically that most people are struggling.
Yes, they are. And a lot of times I think that we are so caught up in our struggles that we don't recognize that we're struggling.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It does. And to toss some numbers out, we find that, according to research, between 1 out of 4 and 1 out of 5 people at any given time are suffering from a diagnosable mental illness. And mm-hmm. the church doesn't really talk about that much. 1 out of 4 to 5. And mm-hmm. then we take a look at the fact that 1 out of 4 people in the pews on Sunday morning meet criteria for alcohol use disorder. Then we see the opiate addiction raging out of control. Then we take a look at process addictions. sexual addiction, pornography, 60 to 80% of men, 40 to 60% of women, depending on which statistics you look at. That's epidemic. Then gambling and eating disorders. 15% of people struggle with eating disorders. These are very real issues that are very seldom discussed. Then we take a look at relational issues. One out of four women in the church on Sunday morning will have had an abortion. One out of four men have too, by the way.
Wow.
And they're suffering with guilt and shame and hurt about that. One out of three women in the congregation on Sunday morning were sexually molested as a child. One out of 4 to 5 men were also. And so you start to take a look collectively at these numbers of hurting people. They're astronomical.
Yes, they are.
We see suicide touching every family in America, at least one or two connections removed. Around 113 to 117 people kill themselves in this country every single day. That impacts and affects the church. So when you take a look globally, and there are many other issues as well that are perhaps statistically less prominent, but when you add all of those up, virtually everybody in the congregation is struggling. Mm-hmm. They're suffering. And if they're not now, they will be. Or if they're not now, they had been. And so we must find ways to apply the gospel in a very real and realistic way to people's lives that will help them and give hope and help to the hurting.
Those numbers are astounding. Now, when we talk about your book, I am an average person. What would draw me to this book and make me want to read it? Because certainly hearing all of this, you want to reach out and you want to help. But as an average person, you feel like, what can you do?
And that's a great question, Kathy, because that's where you're right. The vast majority of us live. And as an average person, the gospel calls us to be ministers because we see in Ephesians 4, contrary to our subculture in America, that pastor's role and job is to equip God's people for works of service. And that word is the same word from which we get ministry. And Paul later says in many places that we are all to be ministers to hurting people. And we sort of, in this culture, pay a guy not very much to be the pastor and to do all the work of ministry. And unfortunately, in the average church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And God's will is that 100% of the people do 100% of the work. And so for an average person, this book may seem imposing because it is a toolbox. It is a toolkit, a manual about how to help hurting people. But what we have done is we have landed this in an applied way. It's not theory, it's practice. And it's designed for exactly the lay person who is a grief share facilitator, who is a divorce recovery workshop leader, who is a Celebrate Recovery or Lion Tamers Anonymous mentor, who is a marriage mentor, who is leading some sort of support group or is involved in that kind of work of ministry. They're not going to quit their day job. They're a sales manager, they're a bricklayer, they're a stay-at-home mom, they're a teacher, but they're called to do God's work. They're called to reach out to hurting people, but they're not taught and trained how to do so. It's also designed for pastors to facilitate the implementation of those kinds of supports and helps in the church. So we're very, very excited about it. It really is a toolbox, and moreover, it's written by world experts in each area. It's 25 chapters of 25 different issues and topics about how to serve people hurting with those issues in the church.
Wow, it seems like it's covered so many people. It's everybody. You've taken care of everybody, which I would imagine took a lot of research over time, and you said that you are a third-generation minister.
Right.
So you have a lot of knowledge that you were able to put together and add to this book, along with it was co-written by Dr. Tim Clinton. And what is his background? He's also with the American Association of Christian Counselors.
Right. He's our president, and he's a licensed professional counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist as well, and also has ministry training. So we've integrated faith into our mental health professional roles, and he's been helping hurting people for over 30 years. I have for 40. That means, you know, we're old guys, but we've worked with thousands and thousands of hurting people. And so that wealth of experience we draw from in the book and bring out to help hurting people.
Are there examples of or scenarios given in the book?
No, there aren't. That's a great question. There are a couple of different philosophies in terms of writing books to helping people. One is, Susie, not her real name, blah, 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 blah. And get, you know.
Right.
That is kind of more fluff in some people's perspectives. And we just gave all meat. It's all just drinking from a fire hose, solid, here's how to help people, practical tools.
Mm-hmm. Great. And again, the name of the book is The Struggle is Real. So it implies that everybody has some sort of struggle.
We all do. We're all broken people. And that's the reality. And unfortunately, in many churches, it's not safe. And the irony is this big room in the building in which the church meets is called a sanctuary. But truly, unfortunately, in most churches, it's not safe emotionally to say, hi, I'm Jared. I struggle with this. I'm a sinner. I'm an addict. I'm a divorcee. I'm. It's not safe because we fear people's criticism, judgment, and rejection. And that's tragic because we should be, as the church, a hospital for broken, hurting people, not a museum for saints.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you are listening to the Update program. I'm Kathy Parrish in studio with my guest, Dr. Jared Pingleton, and he has co-authored a book called The Struggle is Real, along with Dr. Tim Clinton. And, you know, we talked about your background in ministry. I just wonder, through the years, how have you seen churches traditionally deal with these kinds of concerns, when, you know, in this kind of situation, people having struggles and they go to a church, how have you seen it being handled?
That's a wonderful question, Kathy. And the good news is progressively better over the last several years. I think we're starting to really get it. Many churches now have church-based counseling centers. Many pastors, where there aren't the resources for those kinds of supports, are developing lay leadership and lay-led kinds of support groups. And so I think there is a groundswell of realization and recognition that, hey, you know what? The emperor is not wearing any clothes, as it were. Mm-hmm. People are hurting. And it used to be that we would kind of put on this, you know, false front and dress up real nicely and, hi, how are you today? Oh, I'm just fine. How are you? And you know, Sunday morning churchianity, I irreverently call that, that's easy. Tuesday morning living, Thursday afternoon, Friday night living, that's what's hard.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think I'm very optimistic about the future of the church because I believe we are seeing a groundswell, a surging forward of helping people with truth in loving ways. Now, we have a long way to go, but I think the appropriation of tools like this, I think the application of principles like we're discussing here, the opportunity to have a conversation, and that's what the conference is all about, is to have a conversation. And so we will bring a multidisciplinary group of people here. We are going to be having students from various seminaries and mental health training programs involved in attending the conference. We're going to have pretty much a who's who of leaders transdenominationally. You're going to hear the president of the Southern Baptist Convention talk about his daughter's suicide.
Oh, boy.
You're going to hear world-famous leaders. It is.
Personal experience.
And that's the point. All of us have personal pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear people talking in very high visible places that are very famous about personal struggles like eating disorders, like addictions, like childhood sexual trauma that they experienced as a kid. And we're finally, I think, creating a safe place for people to be genuine, to
and
be authentic.
And not feel alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the irony is, I was at Focus on the Family for a few years and heading up their counseling center, and we did a program on this issue out of which really the book emerged just recently with American Association of Christian Counselors. And the groundswell of report after doing that broadcast a couple of years ago, almost every single person that called in said, I thought I was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was the only one that struggled with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. I thought I was the only one that is so consumed with anxiety that I can't even interact with people or go out of the house, and so on and so on and so on. And so it's not good for man to be alone.
No, it isn't.
And we need each other. And when we can realize we are all hurting, then the gospel takes on an entirely different meaning about transformation, about redemption, about God's delight in transforming blessings out of our brokenness. And that makes the gospel come alive in a way that's very humbling but very powerful, where, as it has been said historically, it's about one beggar sharing with another beggar where to find bread.
Boy, very well said. It gives us that hope. Mm-hmm. When we hear that Johnny's struggling too, and
yes,
you know, Mary has issues, like, oh my goodness, each one of us goes through that.
And none of us, Kathy, has a right to throw rocks.
That's so true.
And the only guy in Jesus' story who had a right to do so chose not to. And there is that sense of not condoning sin or sinfulness, but accepting,
right,
looking past the fault, seeing the need. That's what this conference is all about, is giving handles to that principle about how we can help hurting people without judgment, condemnation, rejection, without fear, without shame, without stigma.
Mm.
We want to end the silence. We want to eliminate the shame, and we want to erase the stigma.
And we can help do that by going to the conference or hearing about this conference. I want to hear more about it, as far as how do you sign up?
Well, you can go to our website, aacc.net, and click on events, and you can find it that way. Or you can go directly to the conference website, which is cmhcsummit.com. Or you can call our toll-free number, 800-526-8673.
The number is 1-800-526-8673. This conference is taking place where again?
At California Baptist University, and that's in Riverside, California. And the dates are March 22nd through March 24th.
So it's certainly something to mark our calendars for and get set for. This is a very crucial summit that's going to take place, and something, as you have so clearly mentioned, that it's something that all of us can relate to. Now, later on this year in May, I just want to mention the summit is going to be in York, Pennsylvania, and then in July, it's going to take place in Colorado Springs, and of course, it's coming up March 22nd through the 24th. At Cal Baptist University in Riverside. So it's covering not just our area here in Southern California, but it's covering a good part of the country as well. And so this is really something that's so great for so many people with so many concerns that we are so happy to be able to just kind of get the word out about it. Now, the first day of the summit is going to mainly be the pre-conference workshop. It's going to take up pretty much the whole day. And then lunch is included for the next 2 days of the summit. If you'd like to get in early and get the best price, there's an early bird deadline of March 16th. So that's good to know, too. You can make your plans. But the Riverside, California Summit speakers, I want to make sure that I list those because there's so many of them, so many professionals that will be attending. They include Ed Stetzer from Wheaton College in my home state of Illinois, Frank Page of Southern Baptist Convention in Nashville, Margaret Najib of Timberland Knowles, Kay Warren of Saddleback Church, Steve Arteburn of New Life Ministries will be there, Don Hawkins of Liberty University, Ted Jennings of Come and Reason Ministries, Eric Johnson of the Society for Christian Psychology, Sharon May of Safe Haven Relationship Center, David Stoop of the Center for Family Therapy, Tim Clinton of the American Association of Christian Counselors, and of course, Jarrett Pingleton, who is here in studio today. He is of the American Association of Christian Counselors as well. All professionals from the psychology and education fields and churches and faith-based organizations. Some of the core topics include, and there are a number of them, they include grief, crisis response and suicide, love and relationships, stress and anxiety, addictions, and on and on and on. And again, things that everybody can relate to in some way or one way or another. So if you have a passion for serving others, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or maybe you're a small group leader at your church or home or a community leader of some sort, a student, a teacher, a social worker, or even a counselor, you're going to want to attend this summit because there's something for everyone to learn, which is really the main thing as to what we've been speaking to this today. The purpose of the summit is to encourage, educate, equip, and empower the church and the community as a whole on mental, emotional, and spiritual issues and challenges in modern-day life. Again, this is The Struggle is Real, which is the summit for March 22nd through the 28th at California Baptist University in Riverside. And I want to give that number again in case anyone would like to call for more information, 1-800-526-8673, 1-800-526-8673. It has been just a pleasure and so informative to find out so much information about what the church is doing to help people who are struggling and helping us to understand these struggles and how there doesn't have to be a stigma. There doesn't have to be shame. We can go to the church and get that direction and the hope and the healing that we each need. So that is that's crucial. And also, again, I want to briefly mention the book, which is called The Struggle is Real by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Jarrett Pingleton, who is here with us today. Thank you so much again for joining us. We really appreciate having you here, and hopefully we'll see you at the conference coming up in March.
Thank you, Kathy. God bless you all. And yes, we want to see you and your listeners there.
You've been listening to The Update Program. The views and opinions expressed on The Update are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or ownership of the station. We welcome your thoughts. Send them to Update Program, 3000 West MacArthur, Suite 500, Santa Ana, California, 92704. Thank you for listening, and God bless.